Comic Timing is a member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 41 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Reed Richards is elastic, Sue can fade from sight. Johnny is the Human Torch, and the Thing, well, he just loves to fight. That's right, Brent Cassina, Raf Suhu, and myself are ready to review Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Was it the best Fantastic Four movie yet, or did it fail to do what number one did? You're about to find out, here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks, my name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 41 of Comic Timing. And here we are with our review of Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer about 2 or 3 weeks after it came out, which actually is much better than what we did with 300 about a month later. But let me introduce the panel first. Brent Cassina, who is, of course, being kept up by this podcast, as in about a couple of hours he'll be working with kids again. But nevertheless, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for coming home late.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Now, for one day, I decided I wanted to find out what it was like to live in mountain time. That's my problem there. I apologize profusely. But at least you stuck around. That's nice. So, yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Also joining us is a man who is uniting geeks one listener at a time in and around geekdom. He is Raphael Suhu and Wraithmaker on the forums. Host, well, co-host of Geeks Unite. What's up, Raph?
Doom lives on Latverian time, and only Latverian time.
How many hours behind Eastern is that?
I have no idea.
Well, considering the place doesn't actually really exist, it's hard to get that. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Doom makes his own time.
Welcome back to the show, man. You've been gone a while.
Yeah, it's been, what, like 8 episodes?
Something like that, yeah.
6 episodes.
I left the light on for you, but you must have gotten lost.
Yeah, I did. Wait, we're not talking about 300 again, are we?
Okay, we're not going back into 300 here. All right, I'm sorry.
I don't get to make any Sparta references.
That ship has sailed. No, go ahead. Make your Sparta reference. You can get it out of your system.
Tonight we dine in doom.
There we
doom.
Go. Doom. I'm going to sing the doom song now. Doom, 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 doom.
Doom-like doom song.
Bye.
Anyway, yeah, so, yeah, we're Uniting Geeks, and episode 5, part 2 with Jamal Igo just came out. You should listen to that, actually, because this will be out a week later.
Well,
right?
Yes, actually. It'll be out about a week later, because I still have one more episode to put out, which I'll probably be editing immediately after we're done here. Yay!
Woohoo!
It's levelated. I just need to take out the pauses, ums, and ers. So we're getting there, folks. We're getting there. But also make sure to listen to the syndicated episode of Comic Timing I just put up today. Well, I guess yesterday, and I guess it's about a week before. Oh, time itself. Oh, God, it hurts. But yeah, syndicated episode of Comic Timing. It was Quarterbin episode 5. For those of you who didn't get a chance to actually listen to it when it was on the Quarterbin's feed, now it's on our feed with an intro by me because, well, I need to make it a Comic Timing episode somehow. Listen to it. It's a lot of fun. Brandon Christopher's an awesome guy. And we talk about anime and manga, which I also talked about on Geeks Unite, but I won't syndicate that because people know about Geeks Unite already. Right, Raph?
That's right. We are up to 100 listeners.
Ooh, nice.
Something like that.
Nicely done, sir.
195. Who's counting? Who cares?
Yeah. You say tomato, I say tomato.
So you're only about 3 away from the CT number, right?
Well,
actually, with Ian's show is the most downloaded show of Geeks Unite, actually.
Woohoo. And by the way, Brent, it's nice and early in the show for me to say this. Well, Brent Cassina, thanks for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. So,
Yeah, guys, I got to get to work. Sorry.
Yeah, you can tell that it's Brent, Raph, and me because we're already off topic. All right.
We're going to end at like 4 in the morning.
Around comics. All right. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. It was a movie that we all saw. This is what I'm talking about, and this is what I talked about on the forums. The latest comic book movie has been released, and Comic Timing is set to review it. Was Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, better or worse than the first Fantastic Four film? Did you appreciate the adaptation of previous source material? Was Silver Surfer and Galactus the Silver Surfer and Galactus you wanted to see? What would you have done differently? Should there be a third film, and if so, what should the subject matter be? Give us your thoughts, and we'll discuss your take on the show. Let's start with the panel first. Brent, your initial impression of Rise of the Silver Surfer.
B+. I really liked it. I thought there was a lot of popcorny fun. I liked the campiness in it. You know, the Fantastic Four is not supposed to be serious and brooding and shit like Spider-Man was, or even Batman or Superman sometimes. They're supposed to be fun, lighthearted, and entertaining. And that's what this movie was, and that's why I liked it.
Cool. Yeah, that's actually pretty much how I felt about it. But let's go to Raph first, because he's seen it twice already, and I haven't. Because this guy, all right, so we get tickets to see Rise of the Silver Surfer, all right? And, well, you know what? You tell the story, Raph, because, of course, you tell it better than me because, well, it happened to you.
Yes, well, the night in question was Thursday night. I was actually sitting at home. I was just relaxing, and I get a phone call, and it's from my mom's best friend who lives down in Florida, and she tells me that she's in town, and then she has a daughter who's a few years younger than me. You know, they used to live in our neighborhood. We used to hang out all the time. So she wanted to go see a movie. I said, sure, why not? What do you want to see? She said, Spider-Man. I said, I've already seen Spider-Man twice. And she says, well, about Fantastic Four? And I'm like, well, I don't know if it's out yet. And we ended up going to see the Midnight show. And yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, I already planned to see it with Ian a few days before. But, I mean, things happen. People make you do things that you may or may not want to do, whatever.
By gunpoint, of course.
Yes, by gunpoint. She had a gun on me the whole time. It was the most painful movie ever.
This is a friend of your mom's daughter or a cousin?
It's a friend. It's my mom's best friend's daughter. It took me forever to figure it out because, you know, it's like I always hung out with them. I always thought they were family, but whatever.
Whoa! Right. All right. All right. All right. What podcast do you think this is? Okay? This is not the Discuss Your Love Life podcast here, okay? All right, all right?
Yes, this is Raph's life podcast.
Yeah, I mean, if Raph wants to try and max on his mother's best friend's daughter, then that's fine. I mean, we're not...
No,
really
it's nowhere near there. Besides, yeah, yeah. I think Juan would be... Never mind, let's not go there.
Whoa!
So it's just the last time I talked to Juan, that's all he talked about.
I need a girl. I need a girl, too.
That's getting it.
We've already slipped into the fucking Twilight Zone. Beautiful.
Oh, man. And yeah, so I went to see a second time with Ian, and, you know, being the first time I saw it was midnight, I was a little tired at that point. So when I saw it the second time, I enjoyed it both times, but I kind of noticed some flaws with it. But then again, it's Fantastic Four. I mean, the first movie wasn't like the be-all end-all of comic book movies. The second one is a lot improved, but I think with Marvel, they have like two types of movies. They have the really serious, you know, takes itself very serious movie, and then they have the oh, to hell with it, let's just have fun, you know, like a Ghost Rider, like a Punisher. So I think Fantastic Four 2 was definitely in that camp, and it definitely did it very well. It's one of the better like non-serious movies that Marvel's done.
Yeah, I mean, I went into this thinking that it was going to be in between, say, Hamlet and Weekend at Bernie's. You know, I was thinking that it was either going to be the best thing ever, or it was going to absolutely suck, or it was going to be somewhere in between. And I'm very, very happy that it was somewhere in between, because that's what I was hoping for. You know, something that was lighthearted, that was friendly, that embodied the spirit of the Fantastic Four. Because the Fantastic Four, well, let's be honest, there have been times in its history where the comic book has not been that good. Okay? And then it's had its wonderful runs. I was looking for something that was sort of middle of the road, just like Fantastic Four have had middle of the road runs on the comic. I wanted a middle of the road movie to, you know, pass the time and be fun and lighthearted and all that, and that's what I got. And I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Do you feel it was better than the first one?
Definitely, by far.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Even though I still like the first one just as much.
Okay.
When I first saw it, the new extended edition made me really like it even more. There's more characterization. There's like 20 minutes more stuff. What I really liked about the new extended edition of the first movie is that they added in two cutscenes with Alicia Masters. And one of them is Ben Grimm going to her studio and seeing actually all of the sculptures she's done.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
And then second one, and then she proceeds to give him like an erotic, not massage, but like a dust. She dusts him with a brush.
Okay.
I didn't quite understand that, but it had this weird erotic music in the background.
Bow, 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 bow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, oh, man.
Yeah, it's weird.
Let me just brush your crevices, Ben.
Ooh. And then the one after that with Alicia Masters was she took him to a party, and Ben kind of felt like the outsider because everybody was whispering and talking about him and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So it really got across the, you know, Ben's feelings of loneliness and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here for a second on the whole extended edition thing, because this is really starting to piss me off. Because you go to the movie theater, okay, and you sit down and you watch a movie, and let's say you think it's a little bit lacking, that you feel like there could have been another 20, 30 minutes to the movie, or even another hour to the movie. That was kind of the way I felt about Fantastic Four 2. If they're going to make a Fantastic Four 3, or better yet, if they're going to release some Fantastic Four 2 on DVD, which of course they're going to, they're going to release it probably the first edition, bare bones, without any extras, really. And then they're going to release a second one that's an extended edition with about 40 minutes more, or 20 minutes more, or whatever, more footage to the film, and you're going to screw everybody over who already bought the DVD the first time around. That happened with Fantastic Four, it happened with Sin City, it happened with a bunch of them, but I really, really thought Fantastic Four 2 could have used at least 30 or 40 more minutes to tell the story, just like I thought the original Fantastic Four could have used more time to tell the story.
Yeah.
And they stick it on the DVD as opposed to in the theaters where I think it matters more. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys feel? Would you rather see that actually be in the movie in the first place?
I would rather see it in the movie in the first place, but as a rule, if they release a single disc edition, I'm going to check online, see if there's any announcements of a double disc, if
sure.
It's a movie that I want.
Yeah.
And I will wait. I'll rent that first one. I'll wait. Like, even though the first Fantastic Four single disc release had some special features, I didn't buy it. I waited.
Yeah.
Because I figured, you know, they're going to have to do a two disc edition, because every other Marvel movie's had a two-disc thing with a documentary behind the comics and stuff, and that was missing from that one. So that's why I didn't get that. I got this one. I'm really happy with the film now. The documentaries are great. I thought the behind-the-scenes one is good. They have an hour-long documentary on the comics from the 60s to now on all the different eras. The only person they're really missing is John Byrne. They kind of skim over his stuff because he doesn't want to be on there. The egotistical prick.
Of course.
And,
he's John Byrne.
Right. And they focus on Jack Kirby on there. But then, totally after that, they have an hour-long documentary on just Jack Kirby.
Wow.
So
awesome.
It's like a total Jack Kirby immersion on that second disc.
That's really cool.
So, if you didn't like the film, at least rent it, the extended edition Netflix or whatever, check it out just for that. It might warrant you a purchase.
Did the Jack Kirby stuff have a lot of Stan Lee interviews, that sort of stuff? Or
Stan Lee, he was more in the first one, I think. The Jack Kirby stuff, there were some guys that were his assistants when he was living in L.A., working for D.C. or something, who lived with him and helped him out. I don't know what they did exactly as assistants to Jack Kirby, but they talked more. It sounded like they knew him longer, not longer than Stan Lee, but on a more personal level.
Okay.
Stan Lee is there in the beginning, but they talk. They talk to Walt Simonson in it. Barry Windsor Smith is like on this DVD, like out of nowhere. Like, what the fuck has he done in the last 20 years? but he's. They show him like in front of some big drawing board and shit tacked up against the wall, like, you know, like. What are you doing that's taking you so long, man?
Hey, Barry Windsor Smith has been waiting 20 years to be on that DVD.
And he was really enthusiastic, so apparently he was. But yeah, there's not like a one-on-one Stan Lee thing, but any Stan Lee thing about Jack Kirby or anything else is going to sound just the same as everyone. I mean, he's sure. Got like this stuff down pat by now.
Yeah, yeah. Raph, what do you feel about the whole extended edition thing? I mean, do you have a take either way?
Yes, I do, because you know what? It's DC and Marvel again. They do things very differently. Marvel, they come out with the Civil War Chronicles, which I think is fine. You know, you want to retell Civil War, and so other people can catch up without buying those books. That's fine. That's great. But you're screwing over. But what if, you know, there's some collectors out there that may want they feel screwed over. Marvel does this all the time. Like, I bought The Punisher when it first came out, and I bought Daredevil when it first came out.
Yeah.
About a year later, after the release of the DVD, The Punisher extended DVD came out and the Daredevil extended DVD. I didn't get the Daredevil one. I got the Punisher one. And the Punisher one comes with freaking, like, I think, like, 40 years of comics history with or whatever. And I didn't even open it yet. Like, I just got it, like, a week ago.
Yeah.
I saw it. I was really upset about it, too. Because I have the other one's sitting right there, and I'm just like, what the hell? Meanwhile, you've got, when Superman Returns came out, they really, like, they redid the Christopher Reeve movies. They had the special collector set. It was, they did it on the same day, though. Like, I really, Batman Begins. They had the regular edition. They had the two disc edition. You could pick which one you want and get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I got the two disc edition, obviously. But see, that's what I like about. I like companies that do that. You know, fine. You know what? You want to make extra money by having two different versions, and you may sucker some people who get the one disc instead of two disc. Fine, but don't do it a year apart, because I'm not going to pick up any single disc DVD ever again unless it's like a really bad movie and like one of those movies that doesn't really deserve a special edition that I'll pick up, like, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, epic movie. I wouldn't even pick it up anymore. But the point is, I'm not picking up Fantastic Four 2 as a DVD unless it has like 60 hours of like documentaries and stuff. You know, like it has to be two or three discs, and then I'll consider picking up.
So you want like the entire process of them putting the makeup on Michael Chiklis?
Well, you know,
they have
the
new one.
Oh, they did.
Yeah,
on the first one.
Oh boy.
I'm a little bit of a DVD completist. Like, I have the extended cuts of Lord of the Rings, and I have the originals. But I mean, the non 4-disc set, and it's just I would love to have it now instead of just get the shitty version and then wait like a year and get the nicer version. Whatever.
You know what it's like? It's like a choice between an omnibus and a hardcover. You know, with an omnibus, you're gonna have the extra, you know, like director's commentary and that sort of stuff. But with a regular hardcover, you're probably just going to have maybe one or two things of anything and just really pretty pictures. That's the difference between the special edition and the regular DVD. You're going to get the movie, fine. If you like the movie, that's great. But you're not really going to get much else to it. I'd so much rather than just bite the bullet and say, let's not make them wait 3 or 4 years for this to come out, and let's just, you know, do it that way. But of course, you're not going to do that because they obviously make more money this way because, well, why would they continue doing it if it didn't work?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks, but that's what we got to live with as fans because, well, we might not see a special edition of Fantastic Four 2 until Fantastic Four 3 comes out, if it ever does, which sucks.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Fantastic Four 2 does well enough so that they can do 3.
Or maybe even
the Silver Surfer movie.
Yeah. I think it did. It made like $57 million.
That's not bad.
Which, you know, it's not Spider-Man or whatever, but
yeah.
I think on the Fantastic Four scale, it's pretty good for them, and I think it's better than what the first one did on its opening weekend.
Was this one a 20th Century Fox, or was this Marvel's studio?
I think it's still Fox. These original properties that they first came out with are still licensed under their studios.
Okay.
So any Fantastic Four movie, I think, is going to be 20th Century Fox.
Okay, because I thought I had heard that it was a Marvel movie and that 20th Century Fox was just distributing it, but I think the first
true Marvel movie might be Iron Man.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
Not sure, though.
Okay.
I'm actually on Box Office Mojo. It says the distributor is Fox. I think after this movie, the rights revert back to Marvel.
I think that's
what the case is.
It might be this one or the third one, because usually they do it for like a three-picture deal, you know.
That's cool. Okay, all right. Yeah, because actually I could sort of see that. Maybe this was the last one under Fox, and the third one would be a Marvel movie. But
It's made $101 million, actually, worldwide right now.
Okay, that's not bad at all for worldwide numbers. I mean, any idea how much it costs to actually make it, though?
It says here it cost $130 to make.
Ooh, yeah.
So, well, it's only been 2 weeks, so, I mean, if you give it, like, it's typical 4 to 8 week month run, then it'll probably make about, like, $150, $200, $250 maybe.
It would have to make about $250 for them to make another one. I mean, without a doubt, they'd have to at least make $90 million to $100 million profit for them to even consider making another one.
Yeah.
Did you like, well, what's actually directed towards Wrath now? I mean, what did you like better about 2 than 1?
I think because I felt with 1, I didn't watch any of the documentaries or anything. I just felt with 1 that it was just kind of like, okay, we need to tell the origin story. Let's just get through this. None of us want to be here. It's a cool story, but we need to get through the origin story first, and then we can have fun. What I especially love is just, well, okay, it got a little annoying towards the end, but Chris Evans as Human Torch, just ad-libbing his lines. The first few lines are great, and then it just started. But, I mean, the overall general feel, like, these guys all, like, Chiklis, Alba, they all felt like they just, like, let loose. They were kind of, they could do what they want with the characters, and it was a lot more loose, whereas the first one, I felt it was a little forced, but I had fun with the first one. It's been a while since I saw the first one, to be honest, so I don't remember how I felt about it, but this one was definitely, it had more action, it was more exciting. Unfortunately, Dr. Doom is still a tool, but what can you do?
Yeah, Actually, that's a good point about the whole Doom thing. I mean, in this one, it sort of felt like he was just there. You know, he didn't really have any reason to be there. It could have been absolutely anybody helping them out. I mean, it could have just been, you know, random assistant number 7, because he didn't really bring any of that menacing quality that you would have expected from Dr. Doom. Yet, they really could have. I mean, the whole idea of him stealing Silver Surfer's powers, that's from the comic. You know, that could have been played out a hell of a lot more than it was. The double cross kind of felt a bit cheesy, and them bringing him in. They didn't even really explain why they had to bring him in the first place. I don't know, it just felt like it was kind of forced. I mean, did you feel that there was a reason for Doom to even be in the movie?
I'm trying to remember. Not really. I think they had to bring him in because they had that Latveria boat at the end of the first one.
They could have very well waited until the third one, though.
They could have, yes. I would have rather maybe seen that. But still, I gotta give them props. They took that story from the comics, put it in here real quick as a nod kind of thing. Gotta give them props for that. They didn't change a whole lot with this. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have the Watcher, the Ultimate Nullifier, but it's still grounded in the roots of the comic. Another thing I really liked about this movie is that the character, like, a lot of the fun from the last movie was maybe more in, like, individual character moments. Ben Grimm trying to pick up the wedding ring off the asphalt. He couldn't do it, so Reed has to help him.
Yeah.
Johnny Storm and the motorcycle. Individual moment. Sue Storm didn't really have an individual moment. You know what I mean? But in this one, it was a lot more character moments. You had Ben Grimm and Johnny fighting with their powers and stuff. I thought that was hilarious. Then they're drinking in a bar later, you know, getting along. You see that they are brothers and they have learned to like each other. It just showed them more as a family. And then what I really liked, even though you guys maybe will harp on me for this, but Sue Storm watching E worrying about her, people think and stuff, and then Reed coming in and talking to her, and wasn't that stuff like in the first early Fantastic Four comics, them having to deal with their fame and like their fortune and
sure,
you know, their celebrity. So I thought this movie included all of those things a lot better than the last one did. The last one, they just became celebrities, didn't really have to worry about it because they're fighting Dr. Doom. But this one, they're worrying about it. They're trying to have the wedding for, like, the 5th time, I heard, which is just funny in itself.
Yeah.
The characters seem like they seem more relaxed in it. I still think Reed needs more gray hair on his temples, but minor nitpick. But all in all, I thought the characters were a lot better developed in this film rather than the first one.
You know what,
actually, and that's maybe why I liked it.
The family dynamic in this one actually reminded me a lot of Wade's Run. And that really, I don't know, like, connected me to it, because that's the Fantastic Four run that I think I connect to the most, is the Mark Waid run, because that really got me back into Fantastic Four after not really being into it for a while.
Yeah, and me too.
In Waid's run, they are a family. It's very much the family dynamic, similar to what's going on here. And also, they are worrying about their image because of it. Well, if I remember correctly, in Waid's run, didn't they invade Latveria at one point?
Yeah, they did.
Because of that, their image was sort of shattered a little bit in America, and they had to sort of win the crowds back. And, you know, they were constantly checking in to see where their image was. So that's why it sort of harkened back to that for me. And another reason why I just came away from this with such a positive feeling. I mean, Raph, what did you connect to most in the movie?
Well, okay. I think the best part for me, and I think it was set up this way. I mean, they didn't get everything down, but how perfect was Silver Surfer?
Really, really good.
Yeah, he was just so awesome. Some of his powers, I didn't expect them to do it that way. Like how he was so reliant on the board, and how he summons forth the power cosmic to shoot you and stuff. I didn't expect that stuff.
Yeah.
But he was, I mean, his story was great. Lawrence Fishburne's acting is terrific. Doug Jones is terrific.
Doug Jones is fantastic.
Yeah, and I think that, like what Brent said, like the moments between like Ben and Johnny and Reed and Sue, all those little moments they have, it was so much better in the second one than the first one. The first one they tried to do, it didn't work out that well. The second one was a lot stronger, I think.
The moment where I was absolutely sold on Silver Surfer, two moments actually, and they were like one after another, so I'll group them together. When he breaks through Sue's force field.
Oh, yeah.
And they have that little bit of conversation there. That is the Silver Surfer that I know and love. You know, he has compassion. You know, he's doing this for a reason, but at the same time, he understands their situation and almost grieves for them. that he knows that pretty soon this entire civilization is going to be wiped out. You felt that in the delivery and in the emotions that were displayed on his face. It felt perfect. The other moment that I was like, holy shit, was when that missile got eaten up by his board.
Oh, God. That's like the best moment in a comic book movie, I think, this year.
No question. No question.
I mean, aside from Peter dancing in the street, but...
Hey, hey, ho, hey, all right, yeah. Well, nothing made me want to dance in the streets more than that, but yeah. I mean, this was so perfectly placed. It displayed the raw power that the Silver Surfer had. You know, that he's able to make a freaking missile disappear into nothing inside of his board. My God, that kicks so much freaking ass. That makes him more powerful than anybody else out there, and yet he's still this gentle soul on the inside. Exactly what the Silver Surfer should be.
Yeah, that was a terrific moment.
Yeah. And by the way, now you can go on your Doom rant if you want.
Oh, my Doom rant. Oh, my God. Let's just go over what Doom does in the movie, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We see him in the same case that he was in the end of the first movie. And then his assistant is like cutting the metal off of him. And he kills his assistant, blah, blah. That's fine. That's Doom. But the next time we see him, Emperor Palpatine shows up. And freaking, like, he's like, where are you going, my apprentice surfer? And he goes after him in a helicopter, and that's fine. He wants to team up with him. That's okay. And then he tries to get the surfer's attention. He gets knocked through. And I'm like, I'm looking at his face, and I'm like, Palpatine? It's just like, Jesus. And then, no. What does it for me is, now he plays two Sith Lords in this movie, because when he gets the board finally... And then and the board comes out, and he puts on that mask slowly. It looks just like episode 3. And I'm just like... And that scene is, I think, the worst scene in the movie, actually. Where the general's like, you can't get to the board. I have to be there. He's like, all right, I'll just shock your ass. And he just shocks him. And then the general gets up really awkwardly and goes, holy shit, what have I done? And he starts shooting at him. And he's like, are you kidding me? Power Cosmic knocks him out. I'm like... Like, we didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah.
No.
Half of his body into ash.
Yeah. I mean, that was a cool thing, but it was like, I knew this was going to happen. I mean, could you guys have done it anymore? That was my least... Doom sucks. Doom sucks so bad.
Okay, but here's what I liked about how they did Doom in this movie.
Okay.
I was wondering, because having recently seen the first one, you know, how are they going to get Doom out of his rock-hard... metal shape, whatever. Then they have the Silver Surfer come in, establish that he changes matter and energy and stuff. So he flies by Doom, you know, it doesn't really pass over him directly, but, you know, just like the after trail, just brings Doom back to life. He sees the little thing in his eyes through the cage or whatever. You know,
yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. I liked that.
I could buy that, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked how they had to pry the mask off him. That was cool. I didn't expect his face... I thought his face should have been metal underneath.
Yeah.
Didn't expect it to be Palpatine, though.
Well, no, I expected Palpatine, but I didn't... Like, when Surfer healed him, like, and his the metal goes back under his skin, I'm like, well, Doom has to be physically scarred. I mean, he has... Doom was the scarred Doom. Yeah. But he's not really Doom, though. Like, he's not the vain Doom who thinks he... I mean, there were some moments where he's like...
He was pretty damn vain in the last movie.
Sure he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, any scene he was in with Reed and Sue, that was one vain man.
Oh, no, but I think the only scene where he was really Doom was when he was like, well, look, it looks like we're going to team up again, Reed. I'll try to talk slow so you can understand me. And I was just like, that's pure Doom. Because Doom always thinks he's the smartest guy, he's the best guy, he can do whatever. But other than that, it was just like... I mean, you're working with Reed, you're not doing anything, you're just background.
Now listen closely, Reed. 2 + 2 = 4. Say it with me now. 2 + 2 = what? 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 4. Very good. You get a cookie.
4 feet of fist in your face. Bam. Stretch.
Okay, no joke. All right. When I saw him on that board, all right, and I saw him get knocked off, I am so shocked that he did not scream out, no!
I know!
Or, do not want!
I didn't like how he just went in the water. and you never saw him after that.
I know.
It's like, no,
oh, he sank.
He's totally dead. We swear. He's totally dead and not going to be showing up in Fantastic Four 3. We swear. Oh, hey,
he'll
by the way, Lex Luthor's going to be in the next Superman movie. You know, I mean, there's no shock whatsoever that Doom survived. I mean, geez. If you don't
he'll
see
come back in a brown suit of armor next movie.
It's
from the rust.
Yes. He'll look more like he did in the Wade run. But, yeah. I mean, it's so easy, okay? Movie physics are as follows. If you don't see a body, you're not dead.
Yeah, as I told Ian when that scene happened, Doom no swim.
Doom not have ballast.
Yeah, he's probably got some, like, automatic, like, pilot thing where his rocket boot. Oh, wait, that's wrong. Metallic.
Yeah,
okay, anyway.
He survived. He has a repulsor ray he shoots at it. Oh, wait, no, that's still not it.
And then he kills Captain America. What?
Yeah, wait, no, that's wrong one. Wrong one.
Oops,
yeah, okay.
Totally.
Yeah.
But they're both douchebags. I mean,
douche.
I
did find your Iron Man as a douche, by the way. I finally did.
Cool.
I finally actually did find that statement. Okay, just needed to.
Yeah, speaking of which, the douchebag gets it in World War Hulk 1 in a good way.
Really?
The Hulk kicks his ass.
Nice. Nicely done.
He actually beats the Hulk down, and then Hulk remembers his wife. He gets pissed off, jumps at Stark, throws him into Stark Tower, the Sentry's watchtower thing.
Slides down like a blade in butter.
Yeah, that was cool.
Nice.
But yeah, World War Hulk is very good, by the way.
I've made a pledge not to pick it up.
Yeah, I can't understand why people are doing that, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, because...
But you should definitely pick up and trade.
Because remember that Civil War thing that happened a while back?
Oh, yeah, that whole biggest event ever.
Yeah.
Going to change everything.
Remember how that was only a few months ago?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
February.
3 months? 3-4 months?
And
it'll be the biggest event of 2006, and apparently 2007.
And 2008, and 2009, and 2010... And the X-Men are doing Endangered Species, but it's going to be a backup story. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Marvel.
I'm waiting for the Endangered Species trade, because you know they'll do it.
Hey, what'd you guys think of the Stan Lee cameo?
I liked it, because they did that in the comics, too, at the wedding, didn't they?
Yes,
except it was Stan and Jack.
Yeah.
But Jack's dead, so they couldn't have him in.
You can't CG him or anything.
Is a lot better than, here's your mail, Dr. Richards.
Come on,
yeah,
dude.
I think it's one
dude, that was awesome, okay?
Okay, yeah, that was good in the last one. Okay, it was a lot better than, I guess great power does come with great responsibility. Enough said.
Oh, God.
Hey, did you know I made you?
I think, this one is definitely one of the top ones. It has to go along with young Matt Murdock stopping him from being hit by a car. That was good. That one was
saving
good.
Stan Lee. See, that's what they need to do. They need to have imaginative cameos for Stan Lee. He doesn't necessarily have to have a line or anything, but he needs to do something fun and imaginative. He doesn't need to talk to Spider-Man, per se.
Well, that's why it was so awesome,
you know?
That he was playing himself.
Yeah.
I'm Stan Lee. Yeah, okay, pal. No, really, I'm Stan Lee.
And people who don't know who Stan Lee is still might have got it.
Yeah.
My girlfriend got it because she knows who Stan Lee is because I drilled it into her head.
Sure.
You know, she liked it. But anybody else might not have understood it. It wasn't as cheesy as, enough said.
Yeah, half the crowd laughed at it. So, you know, a lot of people got it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, they are at least thinking, finally, okay? As opposed to just having him be there, you know, mowing a lawn or something like that, and then having Jean Grey levitate their powers or something. You know, I mean, he's at least doing something now, which is nice to see, at least. If you're going to put him in a movie, have him do something. Don't just stand there. So says Ian. Haha.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, before we get further into this episode, by the way, I want to play this really quickly here, as the cryptographic guys were nice enough to actually send this our way, so let me go ahead and do that here.
If you're a fan of science fiction, horror, crime noir, or dark fantasy, then you'll want to come join me at lordshaper.com/cryptographics, home of cryptographics podcasts. That's KRYPTOGRAPHIK. See you there, or you'll taste my whip.
I'm scared.
Dude, I don't want to let my mom listen to that.
Why, you let your mom listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay, good. Thank you, because I'm about to say, man, you curse like a sailor.
But even if I did.
Cryptographic, not for mothers.
Beautiful.
So now I'm thinking cryptographic is like some weird
Oh, it is
porn
not.
Site.
Oh, dude, come on. So what character development did you guys like the most? I mean, we talked about that there was a whole bunch of, you know, character development for a bunch of the characters in this one that was not in the first one. Did any character excel over any of the others? I guess excluding Silver Surfer, since we already know that we love him, you know, and we think he's awesome. But which of the four you think had the most character growth in this series 2 movie thing?
I think it would have to be, for me, a tie between Human Torch and Mr. Fantastic. Human Torch, there's a new scene in the extended edition where he's in a bar and he's doing like flame tricks for everybody, and they're like, ooh, wow. And then somebody like almost gets burned. He does it to like piss the guy off, and they're like, hey, you could have set him on fire and killed him. You're an asshole. Fuck you. You know, and then like everybody turns on him in that scene.
Yeah.
So then you could kind of see how he got to the point where he wants to save people in that film. Rather than just jumping off, flame on, you know. You could see where that came from. Yeah. Here was even more, because they left it in the film in the first place. It wasn't deleted. Yeah, he was getting everybody's powers and stuff, and he realized it wasn't about him. It was about the team at the end. That, I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Cheesy, but cool.
Now, also, another thing that I really enjoyed about him is that even though his lines were ad-libbed, they felt real in this one. As opposed to in the first one where they felt a little bit forced, because even though, again, they were ad-libbed, the characters interacted with him as if, you know, they were just having casual conversation, which is what I love about this guy. I mean, he's a damn good actor. To pull off ad-libbing like that is fantastic, and it felt true to the character. One moment in particular that shined for him over others was when he was using, you know, his powers and accidentally switched powers with Reed.
Yeah.
You felt the absolute disappointment on his face where, you know, people almost died because of him. You know, he was careless and almost messed things up severely. And he realized at that point that he needs to shape up or else he is going to cause problems with his team and with innocent bystanders as well. And, I mean, you can't do that when you're a superhero. So,
And that's why they cast the right actor for that role.
Yeah.
I don't care if you hate his lines or his one-liners or whatever. Chris Evans is the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Is not the Fantastic Four.
He is
He's
the Fantastic
Human Torch.
Four, though. I mean,
yeah,
I mean
he is.
Well, he was in this
he
film,
is.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was Super Skrull, too.
Yeah.
But he really was. I think he really is the character. He's great casting.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he's supposed to be an asshole. You're not really supposed to like him. You know, you're only supposed to like him half the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get you on that. Because, again, that's what Johnny's like in the comics.
Yeah.
He can be a real douche, or sometimes he can really be good. Douche is our favorite word, by the way. I think I'm realizing
that.
Yes,
it is.
Everybody's a douche on this show. Yeah, douche. Raph, which character had the most character development to you?
I think it's a tie, actually, between Johnny and Sue, because Sue, we finally get to see what Sue is like for a change.
Isn't
like,
that awesome?
She wants to have a family. She wants to do these things. She wants to be... Like, we actually know what the hell is going on with Sue. And
she had lines in this movie.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
And actually, my
Other
favorite...
Other than, look at me.
Yeah. I'm on fire! You fuck! Yeah,
that was so...
Great.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, now, at the same time, that was so ridiculously cheesy and so awesome, because you could tell she was on wires. She was hanging so incredibly bad from those wires.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was just in the middle of the air, flipping around. And, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she was so obviously in a harness, and yet, because it was so cheesy, it worked so well.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't know how to use the flying powers, are you really going to fly and hover back and forth and shit? No, you're going to flip around.
Yeah, but you're not going to flip around like you're on a harness, though, because her...
To be honest, I didn't notice the harness thing. But I was just trying to make an excuse for it.
Okay. All right. Well, Raph, you get what I'm talking about, though, because you've seen it twice, so, I mean...
Yeah, but my favorite Johnny line, though, is when Reed tells him to go after Surf, and he goes, this is Dolce. And he just has this most hurt look on his face, like, no, I can't do this.
I don't know
this
if you guys realize, but that's a different...
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a different cut than the trailer, and I'm glad it was.
I just bought this tux.
Yeah, I'm glad it was, because the I just bought this tux felt forced.
It's overused.
Yeah.
It was overused, too.
Yeah. This is Dolce.
We've seen 100 times. Yeah. It's like, this is Dolce. And he just has this hurt look. It's like, I don't want it. it's beautiful. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
And he just runs. That was my favorite. Although, the Ben and Johnny scenes are so great.
Mm. Yeah.
I love those scenes. Like when he's talking, when they're talking about how Alicia might get killed by a rock slide.
Oh, God.
That's a great line.
A rock slide of Ben Grimm's balls.
And unlike the last movie, okay, because there were times when he would make quips in the last movie, and when I saw it in the theaters, everybody would yawn. In this one, everybody was cracking up hysterically.
Yeah, it was yep. great.
Yeah, because, again, the timing on his jokes were absolutely perfect. And oh, God, the rock slide joke.
Oh my God.
They're not exotic dancers. They're just hot.
Yeah, you know, he had perfect comic timing.
Is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Which yeah, Raph, can you use your connections and get what's Chris Evans on this show instead of yours?
Yeah,
I can talk to his agent actually. His agent and my agent are actually very good friends. I'll try to work through that.
You have an agent?
Yeah, I had to get one because Jamal suggested I get one.
Is his name Juan?
Actually, his name is Juan, but it's not my co-host. Don't tell Juan.
Are we serious now or what?
Is no, I'm fucking around.
Wait. Okay. Pardon my French here. Okay, because I'm obviously a retarded monkey. But what does Chris Evans do again?
He's an actor.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Okay, that's what I thought.
He's Casey Jones in TMNT.
Oh, you're pointing that out to be an asshole.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, folks. Man. I'll be here all week. But, dude, seriously, if you can get Chris Evans on this show, that would totally.
Oh, that'd be money.
That would be so money. That would be absolutely beautiful, man. Seriously.
Right. And on that note,
yeah, get Jamal Igoe on this show. All right. So, this is the least focused episode we have ever done.
Ever.
I'm realizing.
And it's still going to be just as long.
It's
going to be like an ever. Hour of Fantastic Four and an hour of
like
bloopers.
2 hours of like us bullshitting.
I might actually be able to release the bloopers as a separate episode for this.
I know.
So who else in this movie do you think really got a good like characterization? Brent?
I thought Reed did. I really liked the fact that he was actually trying to make Sue think that he was focusing on her.
That would be nice, yeah.
For a change.
And yeah. He still built that thing anyway, but
yeah,
it seemed like he was trying.
I love you. I want to get married. Science. I love
big
science.
Big satellite.
Look, any dude would get distracted by the shiny appliance.
Other than Jessica Alba's face.
You got a point.
But with that makeup on.
Well, Reed Richards is not a normal dude.
That's true.
Okay? Yeah. But, yeah, no, I mean, in the aspect that he gets, distracted by shiny things, then, yeah, he is like a dude, but nobody in their right mind who scores Jessica Alba would ever look the other way.
Well, he didn't make that point when he went up to the general. He was like, I'm the smartest guy in the world, and the quarterback wants my help. I'm also engaged to the hottest woman in the world. That was a nice little speech by him.
That was the character moment for Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Right there. I mean, that was the best scene for Reed in the entire movie. Because you felt the emotion in it. You knew that it was true. You could see the general's nuts just shrivel.
And we've all felt that way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, we're doing a comic book podcast right now. Okay? We're not out at some club in the middle of, like, you know, nowhere, dancing with lights flashing back and forth, grinding up against some girl. We're doing a comic book podcast right now. All right? That means we're geeks. Reed Richards was a geek. And then he got Sue. Think about that for a minute. Alright, that's about enough. That's long enough, actually. I think. Brent, that's long. Okay, thank you. Brent Cassino, ladies and gentlemen.
Enjoy the veal.
I have you here all night, folks.
Thank you very much. But yeah, no, I mean, it was a great moment there, and you know, for me, I'd say if I have to choose one character that really had character advancement in this, it has to be Sue, because again, she felt like a person in this and not just there. You know, like, I mean, like, in the previous one, she was invisible. You could take her out of the script entirely if you wanted to. And you still would have had a movie. You know, in this one, it felt like she meant something to the cast, and she also wasn't getting wooed by Doom, which felt very forced in the last movie.
And they gave her something to do. She was the interaction with the Silver Surfer that made him change his mind, both in the forest and when she, you know, quote-unquote, died or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she was worrying about her wedding and making Reed go through his character moments. They gave her stuff to do. Look what happens when you give Jessica Alba stuff to do in a movie. She acts. Oh, my God. Imagine that.
Well, hey, she actually acted in Dark Angel.
Yes, she did.
Yes, but that was at the beginning of her career. And anything she's done after that, no.
She hasn't really had much to do.
Sin City?
Well, yeah, Sin City, was she was okay. But that super
no,
movie?
No, not Sin City. Not Sin City.
Sin City.
No.
Sin City.
Okay, what did they give her to do? Dance around in Chaps.
And she did a good job. She acted really well in that, okay? She acted like she was dancing.
Okay.
And she acted like she was in love with Bruce, 60-year-old Bruce Willis.
Exactly. All right, but yeah, go, Raph.
Yeah, Jessica Alba hasn't, well, yeah, she hasn't really had much to do with anything. Look, what was the other movie? The Paul Walker movie, I think? The Into the Blue or something like that?
She had something to do. It was something called Eye Candy.
Yeah, exactly. She's been Eye Candy this whole time, so they actually gave her a decent role, but freaking the freaking makeup, I had a problem with the makeup because it just took me out of the moment sometimes. Her freaky blue eyes and her really, really pale complexion. I'm like, she's not that pale, ever.
She actually kind of is pretty pale, though.
But, like, she's also, like, she's not, like, but she's, like, a little, she has a little bit of a tan. So
I think they were trying to tone down her Hispanic skin tone.
Yeah, exactly. Because I read an interview with the producer, and they're like, oh, the fanboys want, you know, they know Sue to be pale and blonde. And so I'm like, I just didn't agree with that. I think if you just let her look a little more natural. Because at times the makeup just took me out of the moment. I'm just like,
well,
what the hell?
If there is one part of the makeup, though, that really worked, and I guess this isn't makeup, this is just her outfit, but... Isn't it amazing how with every single movie, the second movie always has a much better wig on the woman than the first movie? Mary Jane's wig, well, or at least hair, looked a lot better in Spider-Man 2 than it did in Spider-Man 1. Storm,
yeah, definitely.
Hair looked much better in 2 than 1. And here we are with Sue, her hair looked much more believable in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought her as a blonde. I really did. The first movie, it was like,
Yeah.
You know, they really, what they should do is just, like, really research it next time and just, like, get it down the first time, because
I'm
tired of shit.
Yeah,
get it right.
Raph, it's called First Movie Budget. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't take
like
much
Spider-Man.
To get a hairdresser to dye somebody's hair the right color.
Yeah.
Or do that. Dye somebody's hair.
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Yeah.
Because Mary Jane was terrible in the first one.
Oh,
I remember
yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, I don't even know how red it was. It was just really red.
Hey, her hair is really red in the comics. Let's make it red in real life. Because
did they really pale down her? They really pale down her complexion or just keep her out of the sun for like 6 months?
I don't know.
No, they said, you mean Jessica?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put makeup on her. Like,
Huh.
I don't know
See,
what they did.
I would be mad if I were Jessica Alba. I'd be calling my agent.
Well, but she really wanted to do this movie. I mean,
I know, but still, that's part of her. Well, I can understand the hair and the blue contacts and stuff.
But she also knows the character. I mean, from what she said in the interviews and stuff, she actually did research into the character and knows.
But just because the character's a white woman doesn't mean you have to pale yourself. It's like devaluing yourself. It's like them casting me to play a black man, and then, you know, and then the first movie I'm not black, and then the second movie they give me like a dark tan. And I look Hispanic.
Actually, it's nothing like that. But
exactly.
thanks for trying, Brent. That was almost coherent.
I was trying to be compassionate there.
You see, it's kind of like as if I was cast as a girl, but I was a guy in the movie, and then in the second movie,
you were transvestite.
I was a transvestite. It wasn't quite a girl, but I was almost there. I was getting there, and then by the third movie, I was a girl.
This is a 2-minute podcast. This is a 2-minute podcast.
2 minutes
Stay
wasted.
Stay on topic. Stay on topic.
2 minutes
Stay
wasted. Topic. 2 minutes wasted. 2 minutes wasted. All right. Okay. No.
Speaking of which, are we gonna do the thread, or are we just gonna?
Yeah. No. We're gonna do the thread. But we're not there yet. We still got a couple more things to actually cover.
Okay. Good. Because
It's a short thread.
Yes, exactly. Because the thread is like, I'm waiting for the DVD. I haven't seen the movie. Well, there's a thread. All right, but yeah, no. I mean, I think they kind of had to please people. And that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to please people. So, if I'm in her shoes, I bite the bullet and I put the makeup on. That's the way I'm looking at it. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys... I mean, you guys obviously disagree with me, but what are you going to do? That's the way I see it. Let's move on, though. We talked about Silver Surfer for a bit. Was this the Silver Surfer in Galactus you wanted to see? That's important here, because, again, it's not just Silver Surfer in this movie. It's Silver Surfer and Galactus. We haven't touched on Galactus yet. As a whole, combined, Silver Surfer and Galactus, was this the Silver Surfer and Galactus you were hoping to see on the big screen? Raph, you first.
Silver Surfer, yes. Galactus, no.
No. It's as a whole.
It's as a whole.
You heard the man.
Okay.
You can talk about Galactus by himself afterwards, but go ahead.
Okay. I think as a whole, they did a decent job with Silver Surfer and Galactus. I mean, they got the whole planet devouring thing down very well. Although I could have done without the Superman Returns copy beginning, where the planet blows up and everything. But I think they represent things very well. The whole Silver Surfer... Herald thing. The board leads Galactus to the planet. Silver Surfer summons Galactus. That scene where he summons him as a tandem, they do very well as a group. But as Silver Surfer and Galactus separate, Silver Surfer is definitely a strong character.
Well, hey, the opening did at least allow me to turn to you and go, the father becomes the son, becomes the father, becomes the son.
I'm sorry, if your favorite Superman Returns movie wasn't such an ass-kiss to Richard Donner, it wouldn't have been a copy of that scene.
Oh,
well, it's funny.
If there was any bit of originality in that movie, it wouldn't have been a copy.
Whoa.
In a funny turn, the composer for Fantastic Four is actually the editor of Superman Returns, John Avon.
Interesting.
He did the music for Superman Returns and edited it as well. And I don't know if he edited Fantastic Four, but he did the music for Fantastic Four.
Why don't you get him on your podcast then?
Doom is pleased.
I'm working on it. Well, no, because I could tell certain there are certain musical moments with Silver Surfer that I was like, that's from Superman.
That matched the editing of Superman Returns.
Yeah. So I pay attention to those things.
Well, you know, when I was listening to the music, I could just see the cut in my head.
Yeah, it's like, I could just totally see, like, Superman, like, lifting up the planet and going, here, Galactus!
Okay.
All right, so anyway, yeah. So for good, Galactus no good. As a group, they worked okay for me.
Okay, but what was it that you disliked about Galactus?
Okay, when I heard about the cloud thing before the movie came out. So I wasn't too disappointed with the cloud. It was just like... Just as we're about to see Galactus, Silver Surfer blows, like, teleports him away or blows him up, whatever you want to believe happens.
He's teleported. He's still alive, I guarantee.
Yeah, he's definitely teleported. So I was okay with Galactus. It's just, you know, as a fanboy, obviously as a comic book fanboy, I want to see Purple Galactus with his cosmic pimp hat. And we get the cosmic pimp hat silhouette.
I've never heard that put more eloquent in my life.
Why don't you just call Barney for the birthday party, too, while you're at it?
I love you, you love me, I'm gonna devour your family.
With a great big tentacle and a Silver Surfer too.
Won't you say you hate me too? Hey!
11 scene, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Try to veal.
He's here all the time.
He tries to veal, and he misses. All right.
Undercooked.
So you were okay with the whole Galactus thing?
Considering what I'd heard before the movie, it turned out better than I thought it would be.
Okay, all right. But you still would have liked to see more Galactus.
Yes, a lot. Actually, I wanted Rise of the Silver Surfer to set up Fantastic Four 3, the Attack of Galactus or something.
Yeah.
I'd rather the build-up. Well, I'd rather it all be about Surfer and then Galactus
and
comes down.
That's the major issue here, because this is now three movies that Marvel has put out in a row where I felt like we had way too little time to tell the story. Spider-Man 3, everything's all rushed together, and you've got, you know, three things happening at once when it really shouldn't have been the case. You've got Fantastic Four 2 here, where you got them two together, and you got X-Men 3, where everything happened at once when it really shouldn't have. If you actually had more time to explore things, and again, I said this before, I'll say it here, it would have made for a better story. If you had guaranteed that all of these dudes were going to come back for another movie, then you would have been able to do that, and you wouldn't have had to worry about sticking Galactus in here. You could have ended with that scene of Silver Surfer going up to Galactus and then have the next movie start with Galactus. How awesome would that have been?
Yeah, and then the ultimate nullifier and all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, you could have had Johnny do the whole trip into space thing to get it. I mean, that would have really worked.
Yeah, and you already set up Frankie Ray as Nova, so...
Yeah, yeah. And Brent is groaning at it, so I'm assuming he disagrees.
I disagree. Silver Surfer and Galactus worked for me in the context of this film. Silver Surfer, they got right. Galactus, I liked as a threat to a planet. It looked like a cosmic entity, you know, a black hole, galaxy, storm cloud.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, whatever, cool. It did look like there was something underneath those clouds, though, like maybe a machine that I would have liked to have seen. And also, I would have liked to see when Silver Surfer was going into Galactus, at least see the shape of the head. When it gets to the center, I was so looking for that, and it never showed up.
Yeah.
Actually, please, it did for the briefest of seconds. Then you see it, the form of that
helmet. I saw the shadow at the beginning, but
yeah.
I was looking for it in the cloud, and maybe I did see it for a brief second, but maybe that was just my mind telling
me. It was flame shape. It was like a flamish, like colored sort of head thing.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it's for the briefest seconds, and that's when Silver Surfer unleashes his energy blast.
What I would have actually not minded is if this cloud had Galactus inside it.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been pretty cool. But instead, they went for the whole cloud thing, and we sort of lost out on that a little bit. I mean, Silver Surfer worked for me. As a whole, Silver Surfer and Galactus didn't work for me. But again, I got pretty much what I expected out of it, I guess, because... I was sort of imagining that they were going to probably be silly about this and have Galactus and Silver Surfer be in the same movie. We did have both of them, and Silver Surfer, quote-unquote, sacrifices himself to save the world. All's well, but of course, we know he's not dead because J. Michael Straczynski is currently writing the script for a movie about him, so he's certainly going to be coming back, and probably Galactus will too.
Well, also, that's probably a point where the extra 30 minutes... could have helped.
Yeah. Definitely.
We could have had another 30 minutes of the Galactus plot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's what I wanted the extra half hour for. And again, this movie was only...
90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3 was 2.5 hours. You could have so easily put another half hour in this, and it still would have been a manageable time for most moviegoers. 2 hours is not that bad.
It isn't. Not
2 hours is still short by industry standards now. Lord of the Rings, Spider-Man 3
This was the size of a straight-to-DVD animated feature.
Yeah. This is like a really low-selling comedy, like, you know, a comedy that they don't expect to do well, so they just toss it out there in August.
It was an Adam Sandler film.
Yeah, exactly.
90 minutes.
Well, 90 minutes.
How long was Ultimate Avengers?
I think it was like 70 or 80.
70 or 80. It's a little, yeah, a little over an hour.
Same with the Iron Man 1.
I think I pretty much rest my case.
Yeah.
This was way too short. And it's not often when I say that about a movie. You know, because, I mean, usually there are times when I'm sitting there and I'm like, is it over yet? Is it over yet? Is it over yet? My God, why isn't this over yet? But yeah, for this
going
one,
to the Great Havens.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that.
Finish my book.
Oh, God. Lord of the
Rings. You're king now.
Oh, Lord of the Rings. Why did you have to fool me into believing you were over 4 times? Please. But yeah, no, I mean, with this one, it just needed more to it. And what was worse, pet peeve number 7, all right? When we were at the theater, okay, and it ends, the credits start, and we get about 2 credits in, and then, of course, the last scene comes up with Silver Surfer, and we find out, oh, Silver Surfer's okay, yay, he can be in his own movie. That's when disaster strikes, and rather than me tell this, let me let Raph tell this, who is now on his cell phone because his computer just decided it wanted to implode, and I blame Galactus, but Raph, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're sitting there. Some of us are applauding the movie, and the credits come up. And so people are getting up and leaving, and then suddenly the scene shifts on the credits, and everybody stops in the middle of the aisles, in the middle of the rows, whatever they're doing, to watch the scene. And meanwhile, they don't realize they're blocking half the fucking screen, and then there's these 2 douchebags that decide to put their hands up and make shadowed puppets while we're trying to watch the Silver Surfer open his freaking eyes and tell us he's alive. He's alive. And I didn't get to see that twice. I missed it twice.
Whoa.
First time, I couldn't see it. Second time, I had to go on Wikipedia to find out that he opens his eyes, and we know he's alive.
Well, I kind of gathered that much, but my God, people can be pricks.
Yeah, they can.
Wait, no, excuse me. People can be douches. There we go.
Yes, they can.
Because that is the official comic timing word for anybody who's a douche. Brent, when you went to see it, what did people do with that last scene?
They stood where they were, but we stood up too.
So everybody, is everybody stood up? Is that it? Is that it?
And maybe, don't call, yes or no.
Don't call me a dumb shit for wanting to sit down in my seat, man, all right? It's a movie theater. You sit down.
We were still sitting down when we saw it. I think a lot of people were still sitting down.
Oh, okay, all right. Because if I was at a Pearl Jam concert, I'd stand, all right? But this is not a Pearl Jam concert, all right? This is Rise of the Silver Surfer. That's a difference. It's a major difference.
Rise of the Silver Surfer. Rise in your seat when somebody blocks your view. It's the credits. What do you want?
Well, look, almost every single time that this has happened to me, okay? Almost every single time that any of these extra scenes has happened, people have had the common courtesy to get out of the way for people who were still sitting. But this was just a rude and inconsiderate crowd, especially with the bunny ears. That was ridiculous.
That's what you get for having it a PG movie.
Actually, I'd rather it be rated R next time. Have the
No, this was definitely like a bunch of like 16-year-old kids that did it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, totally.
Plus, also, there was a guy sitting next to my girlfriend the entire time, and before the movie starts, he has his headphones on blasting loud-ass music, all right? And then once the movie starts, luckily he doesn't have the headphones on, but then he's texting people the entire movie, so his blinding cell phone light is in our eyes the entire time.
Yeah, I caught some of that light.
Now, be glad that you don't have to actually go to the movies in Manhattan, because then you have to deal with this, Brent.
That's why Orlando is great.
Mm-hmm. Yes, God bless Orlando and its hot weather and humidity and all that crap. But all right, do you guys want to see a third movie? Because that's an important question to ask at this point. Okay, so yes, you would. Okay, Raph, you?
Yes, I would. And but I don't know which one I would rather see: Inhumans or Mole Man.
Inhumans.
Inhumans.
Definitely.
Inhumans.
Yeah.
Mole Man. No.
At this point, yeah.
Well,
Mole Man is a one-shot story.
Annihilus, maybe, but, you know, I mean, Mole Man is meant for video games.
Cartoon.
Yeah, cartoon and video games.
Yeah.
You know?
The subplot in the video game, exactly.
Yeah.
Mole Man.
Oh, and by the way, subplot in the video game, Super Skrull.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the subplots in the video game is Super Skrull, which is hilarious, because what are we getting in this movie?
Super Johnny.
Yeah.
Super Johnny Skrull.
As I like to call him, Super Drawl.
Is he related to Super Drek?
Yes, actually, but...
Or Shrek?
Super Shrek, yes, fantastic. Yeah, no, this is a good point for me to ask this, by the way, since I just mentioned Super Skrull. What do you guys think of the whole Johnny Storm with all their powers thing, punching Doom and all that? I mean, this sort of stops them from ever having Super Skrull in the movies because they kind of just had him.
Yeah, I don't think it was a missed opportunity. I don't know, just the whole alien thing seems kind of weird to me, unless you're an alien to begin with. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, they've already... Well, I guess now it's not weird because they have an alien Silver Surfer. But they could still do it. It wasn't that noticeable because it was dark, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was... I thought it was cool. It was cool nod to the fans and... It used the plot of the changing the powers and all that, you know.
I love seeing him with the stretched out thing fist.
Yeah, on fire.
That was really awesome, yeah. But, yeah. Raph, what do you, I mean, did you enjoy that?
Well, I kind of know why they did it, because no one else could stop Doom, but the only way possible I could see them doing Super Skrull right now and make, is that the Skrull's footage of Johnny going, using all their powers to do it, I think, is... I mean, you've already introduced... That's the only way you could justify it, by, because if you're going to introduce a character that has all their powers, they'll just go, wait, wasn't that in the other movie? It ruins the setup. You had to blatantly show footage from Fantastic Four, I think, in order for them to go, well, you know, we can do that with our technology.
Yeah, yeah, okay. No, that kind of makes sense there. I mean, it's been done now, so what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, it's really hard to do. I mean, even if it did what I'm suggesting, that seems like a little bit of a cop-out. Like, a lot of them caught that, actually.
Well, then let's have them not do it, then. Agreed?
Yeah, no. No Skrull. They can't do
Skrull. You can have a movie villain do what he did in the movie previously. It's called Superman and Superman Returns. Land.
I believe Game, Set, Match.
That's touche.
Yeah. Touche and to Yankee Stadium. That's a really bad pun. All right.
I'll leave the baseball fans will understand.
All right. One final question for you guys before we go on to the forum comments, which aren't that many, and then we can wrap this thing up. What would you have done differently with the Galactus Silver Surfer thing, with the movie in general? What would you have done differently than what we actually saw? Brent, you first.
I would have added 20 more minutes of the Galactus plot. It felt like he was kind of tacked on there at the end. Even though it is called Rise of the Silver Surfer, maybe 15 to 30 minutes more Galactus. Maybe not just the end fight. I thought that was pretty satisfying. But just more establishing the threat. You know what I mean? Or just some more mythology around Galactus. Maybe the Silver Surfer origin a little bit. I don't know.
Well, that's probably going to end up in the Silver Surfer movie.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, J. Michael Straczynski decides that he's going to write a story about how Silver Surfer got his powers from some guy named Ezekiel. But,
or the Green Goblin.
Oh, God! Yes, Silver Surfer had sex with the Green Goblin.
It's the pumpkin cosmic power.
See, this is what happens when the three of us don't talk for a while.
Exactly. It's been way too long.
Well, Straczynski's writing Requiem, right? So he has an idea of Silver Surfer.
He does, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, hopefully... Well, I haven't actually read Requiem, so I wouldn't be able to tell you that. Has anybody here read Requiem?
Yeah. I don't... I'm kind of getting trade.
Okay. Well, Brent has read Macaroni, but he hasn't actually read Requiem from the sounds of things, so we'll take that as a no. But, well, okay, let's finish with the last question I asked before we move on to Silver Surfer, the movie, I guess. What would you have done differently, Ref?
It's either give Galactus more time or push Galactus off the next movie. I think I would have pushed Galactus, Doctor Doom, and Doctor Doom into the next movie, and I would have introduced the Skrulls. I would have their planet be threatened by Galactus. And maybe you can put that plot thread out later on. And so, yeah, I think Galactus should have been the next movie. He should, and I don't know if we necessarily have to see him. And Doctor Doom coming back and being Doom and stealing Silver Surfer's powers and causing havoc and ruining the Fantastic Four trying to save the Earth, which should have been the third movie. And just have every, just make it this dramatic, like magnum opus sort of thing. Just like, it could have been this huge galactic epic.
Here's why that would not have worked. The first movie didn't make enough money to do that. It would have been too long and dragged out. And if they did make a third one, we would have never gotten Galactus in the first place.
Yeah. So I mean, but we're talking about like fantasy world, like anything
right.
is possible, unlimited budget, whatever. That's what I want to see. But if in the real world, I'd have to agree with Brent then. Just add on 20, 30 minutes of Galactus and just, you know, give him more screen time. Because he got, what, 5 minutes of pure screen time, maybe not even?
Yeah.
Like, just the dust cloud, that cloud thing got, like, 5 minutes of screen time, really. So
because it wasn't
give
the focus.
Him more.
It wasn't the focus. This was a Rise of the Silver Surfer was about the rise of the Silver Surfer. It could have so easily been a Galactus movie, but no, they wanted to do Rise of the Silver Surfer. I'm okay with that because I like the Silver Surfer bits we have, but we didn't have much Galactus. That's the way it happens.
But they marginalized, like, this huge, powerful cosmic entity. They really did.
All the more reason to bring it back later.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm hoping for in a movie, in the Silver Surfer movie.
Mm.
Here's my question. Fantastic Four 2.
Yeah.
Better than Spider-Man 3.
Ooh.
I vote yes.
I vote about the same.
I vote yes only because in its own genre, it did what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to be a fun popcorn movie. It was Spider-Man was supposed to be this action-adventure story with some drama. It just became this overly long drama that I didn't need. So Fantastic Four did a better job of being Fantastic Four than Spider-Man did of being Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But they're about even in terms of pure quality.
And
oh, no.
Well, no. Spider-Man 3... The production values were really high. I mean, it's really well executed. It's just the script sucks.
Okay, yes. Production quality, maybe lean towards Spider-Man a little bit more. Since
yeah,
they're
but the
like,
overall
thinking
quality,
it was the
I
most should... expensive movie ever made or
of
whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the story quality is on two totally opposite ends of the spectrum. On one hand, with Spider-Man, you had too much story. too long of a movie for all that story.
And this one's too little.
Yeah, and this one's too little.
Yeah. But Fantastic Four does so much with so little. That's the thing. That's why I like about it. That's why I like about it more, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, it's a, I mean, it's a valid point. I mean, they do manage to do plenty with the time that they had. They just needed more time, period. And what I would have done differently here is certain scenes I would have added. I wanted more time with Alicia. I feel that that her character still needs more character development, and I would have liked to see more time with Alicia and Ben. We didn't really get that in this movie, so I'd like to
get that extended edition DVD.
Oh,
yeah.
Puppet Master. Mm-hmm. There's a Puppet Master hint in that extended DVD. It's pretty damn cool.
Jeez.
Well, maybe we can do Puppet Master then, and then we'll get a lot of Alicia time.
Well, great. When we start going to straight to DVD Fantastic Four movies, I'm sure we'll eventually get Puppet Master because that
this one Jessica Alba's like 80 and pregnant and has six kids.
Yeah, exactly. And they're all named Franklin and Valeria.
Well, what about Frankie Ray? Did you like that?
I like that. I did like that because that's hint towards the future.
Yeah.
It was fun. I had fun with it.
What I would have rather seen than Frankie Ray, and again, it's something I would have changed, is as opposed to Frankie Ray, I would have rather it had been Crystal. Just introduce her. You know, no hints of Inhuman or anything like that, but introduce her just as Crystal. We could find out later on that she's an Inhuman in the next movie.
Yeah, so like for us comic book fanboys, we're salivating over that stuff, and for the other people who like it, they go see Fantastic Four 3. Oh, I remember. Oh, she's this? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I also would have wanted, obviously, more Galactus. I would have rather have seen something inside the cloud as opposed to just being a cloud. With Silver Surfer, less reliance on the board. Because Silver Surfer is just a regular, I don't know, like it kind of felt like it was a bit cheap, his powers, because of that. It's board or nothing. That's not what the character is.
You know what I did like is that he wasn't a completely CG character the entire movie.
Yes, yes.
When they took the cosmic power away, it was Doug Jones in a suit. And when I was reading that Doug Jones was doing the Silver Surfer, I was afraid that he's walking around in some blue suit, like Gollum or something. To actually see the suit that he was in and that they were acting off of made sense. It was really cool to see that.
Yeah. I mean, and again, that did really, really look good. I mean, I love the paint that they used on it because
they could have done the whole movie like that had they wanted to.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe not the whole movie. He was a little like, he wasn't as shiny as he could have been, but it could have worked.
But still, what they did do
Corman version.
What they did use was really, really good.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But I was sad that he didn't get to use his voice again.
True.
Only in Pan's Labyrinth and the new upcoming Hellboy is, I think, his first
voice. But Fishburne did voice a great thing. Job.
Yeah, he did, but I don't understand that. You cast a guy in a suit.
Yes, but two words. Cowboy Curtis. Enough said. All right? When you have Cowboy Curtis in a movie, it's automatically going to kick ass. That's all I have to say about that. Lawrence Fishburne is awesome. His voice also really worked for Silver Surfer. I mean,
he was so awesome as Silver Surfer.
He had the inflection down perfectly.
But the thing here with me, though, like if you've seen Pan's Labyrinth, Doug Jones is the Fonz voice, and he's doing all that in Spanish. So he lowered his voice to that register, that really creepy stuff that it had.
Yeah.
So I would like to have heard what Doug Jones could have offered to it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know what you could do, actually, and I mean, this is certainly a possibility.
Redub it 30 years later?
Yeah, you could do that. That's not what I was
Anakin
going to say.
Anakin Skywalker! Boba Fett!
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just wailing on everybody today.
Yeah, you're like out of the gate, man. Everybody sucks to Brent tonight. No, what I would like to see is how about we have him play somebody, one of the Inhumans in the next movie? Like perhaps Karnak.
Well, you know what's funny? They said he was a mime, that he practiced, that he was a, I read the article in Wizard. He was a mime. Why not make him Black Bolt?
That could work. That could definitely work. But then he obviously wouldn't be able to talk. But
yeah, if he's a... I'm just saying.
Finally, we get to hear him speak. Who's he playing? Black Bolt. Fuck.
So when he does speak, it shatters the screen or whatever. Yeah.
That would just be irony up the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although the pantomime would work for Karnak also because Karnak does a lot of blows that are very precise.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I mean, either one. I mean, his body type would fit either one also. So I mean, I could see him as Black Bolt. In fact, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Let's make him Black Bolt. We don't need to hear him speak that much.
Black Bolt.
Yeah, Black Bolt. Thank you. Let's paint them black. Put them out on the ocean. All right. Put a couple people inside of it. Have a barbecue.
Fantastic Four in the yellow submarine.
No, in the black boat. Fantastic Four in the black boat. Yeah. Question is, who are you going to have play Lockjaw?
Does Lockjaw talk? I don't remember.
No, he doesn't. He just has a really long tongue.
Wait, who's that guy from Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag?
Oh, wait.
Joe Pesci, Lockjaw.
Joe Pesci! Joe, oh my god.
Look at his face, looks the same.
See, now I'm going to have to put up on the thread for this episode a before and after shot, okay, of Joe Pesci and Lockjaw. Just so people can decide for themselves.
You know, but you got to put up Joe Pesci now. Not yeah. Joe Pesci
no,
when he
I
was
know.
Cool.
I've seen what he looks like now. All right, yeah. Well, although even better yet, you could. They probably would go the route of just getting a real dog, like what the
yeah.
underdog,
and like enlarging it.
Yeah, maybe. Or yeah, not even enlarging.
Super big.
Yeah, they don't even really have to enlarge it. I mean, the character could still be a dog that teleports people.
Yeah, but it's a lot more cooler when he's a super big dog.
Fine, get a Newfoundland Terrier to play it.
Can we use, like, cloning and stem cells to make a newfound bulldog pug thing?
It's possible. It's certainly possible. I mean, if...
Come on, guys, we got 3 years to do it. Let's go. Pass that bill, Congress.
Let's work on the technology. Let's see what we can do. All right, so... And we're convinced, by the way, third film is going to be the Inhumans, right?
Yeah,
I hope so.
I'm, like, 102% sold on it.
Question. Adelan or the moon?
Adelan.
Okay.
I like the global field this movie had, so let's keep that.
Okay. And if they do have it on the blue area of the moon, do they introduce the Watcher?
No. They should have done that with this movie.
Well, if you bring Galactus back, obviously you can bring in the Watcher. But, I'm okay with that if they don't bring in the Watcher. But if you do base it on the moon, it would be a great place to bring him in.
Yeah. No.
Well, okay. I'm thinking the Watcher will be in the Silver Surfer movie because he's also a very, like, introspective, very talkative character in the comics, so I'm thinking since Surfer didn't talk so much in this movie, he may not talk that much in his own movie, so maybe you have to watch it do narration.
We taking bets on Terax being in the Surfer movie?
No.
Maybe.
He is one of my favorite heralds, Terax. So, yeah. I mean, it would be cool to see like a giant battle between him and Terax.
Him, or maybe Fire Lord would be, I don't know. I'm not 100% on which. I mean, there's so many heralds they could use.
Hell, you could even have Terax
is one of my favorites.
Thanos, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a hero.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. You could finally get the Thanos movie going on, you know?
Yeah, that would be cool.
I think all in all, we've decided that this movie was definitely better than we certainly expected it to be. You know, it had its flaws, could have been a bit longer, but that's, I guess, apparently what the extended edition that comes out 2 years from now in a hollow foil cover with, like, you know, a bunch of deleted scenes and extras and bonus features is going to be for.
And free movie cash for the third film.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, the third film with the Impossible Man as the villain. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and that better not be the case. All right, onto the forum comments because they're nice and quick. All right, let's go to Matthew Guy here who has to say, wait for the DVD on that one. Marvel got my movie money this year. I see one movie a year in theaters. That is it usually. With 8 out of 10 webs for Spidey 3, but the rest of the summer comics DVD crop will get the DVD treatment from me. I waited for the DVD on the first Fantastic Four film, a 7 out of 10, mostly for Jessica Alba, and that's Matthew Guy. I agree, Jessica Alba is a very sexy woman. Veggie Man has to say, I haven't seen it yet, but I am completely heartbroken after reading the reviews. I mean, we all know the first movie was, at best, a pretty-looking action movie, and for God's sakes, there was no evidence to point towards them making the second one great, but I was really rooting for this one. That damn trailer, what with its Silver Surfer bitch-slapping rockets, completely tricked me into thinking they had something truly fantastic, pun intended, baby, on their hands. But apparently, it's a stinker, and I'm still going to spend my money to see it. That's just good marketing right there. And that is Veggie Man, new to the forums, by the way. Welcome, Veggie Man. Hope you enjoy your stay. And, yeah, the critics kind of did pan this one.
They called it a simple popcorn movie, and that's what it's supposed to be. Like, the critics love Spider-Man. Well, they sort of love Spider-Man 3. Mm-hmm. The critics always love the heady, really sophisticated movies.
Yeah.
And all these, like, fun popcorn movies, they go, don't go see that. And it's like, whatever, I want to go see a popcorn. There's no popcorn movie critic, really, except maybe Ebert and Roper, but I don't really know. But So yeah, I don't give a shit what critics say. I usually go see the movie regardless of what they say. So whatever.
They panned the first Scary Movie, and I loved it.
Yeah, first Scary Movie was great.
Yeah. Again, the first
I one, love that movie.
The all the ones after that kind of sucked. Well, okay, two wasn't that bad, but the first one was.
But they get progressively worse.
Yeah, no, they do. They get terribly worse after a while, but especially after the Wayans brothers leave. But they absolutely tore into that one. They said it was one of the worst movies ever, if I remember correctly. And I went.
Yeah. They actually bashed the first fight.
Yeah.
And then they changed their minds when they made money.
Yeah. Well, X-Men 2. X-Men. I remember, exactly. Not X-Men 2. X-Men, comma, T-00. Also.
X-Men as well.
X-Men as well. Thank you.
X-Men.
Yes. X-Men as well will be the next sequel, by the way.
It'll be Eggs-Men.
Yes, of course.
Scrambled.
Brent, what do you feel about the critics?
I mean, sometimes I do pay attention to them and listen to them. Other times I don't. This is one where I saw the first film, really liked it, and I had faith in this one, and I really liked it. Who'd have thought the guy who did Barbershop would have put out this good movie?
Wow,
who'd have thought?
I'd completely forgotten he ever did Barbershop.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. Well, hey, I mean, that guy who did X-Men 3, he did Rush Hour, so, you know.
And it shows.
All right. Veggie Man. Yeah, kick it up a notch. All right, Veggie Man, in response to what I said in the thread, had something else to say. With Spider-Man and X3, it seems like Marvel comic book movies have a habit of being way over-eager, whereas what we're seeing with Superman Returns and The Dark Knight, those movies seem to be taking it slower, fully utilizing the fact that they are a franchise. Looking forward to your next episode to keep me company during work. Okay, let's turn to the DC fan here. The specific DC fan of movies, right? Because I know that you're both DC fans, but one of you likes the movies a lot better than the other, I know that. So, Raph, do you feel that they take it slower over at DC?
Yeah, you know, because, well, okay, with Batman, they can afford to do that because they're restarting the series. They can afford to take it slow because they have so much to work with again. They don't have to worry about the Burton or the Schumacher movies. With Superman Returns, obviously, you've worked off the Donna mythology, and you technically move past it into a new area now. I agree with Brent. They didn't have to do the Donner kiss ass, but they did it. Okay, let's just get past that. They have the potential to do whatever they want now. They could do Bizarro. They could do Zod. They can do any character they want, and it'll be a fresh slate. But they're taking their time with it. They're not jamming 16 different plot points into an hour. I think because DC has experience, like, DC is older than Marvel in terms of comics and in terms of movies, so it's not like they have to rush everything. Meanwhile, Spider-Man Raimi might be leaving. Well, X-Men is I think it's the last movie of the trilogy. I mean, they're rushing things a little there.
Well, they are. Raph, they do want to do X-Men 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Raph, get Superman's head out of your ass. They had the opportunity to do something completely different with the first one. They didn't.
He didn't want to. So I would have loved to have seen a reboot. Personally.
Okay.
Like
Batman Begins had an opportunity to do something completely different than the others. They did.
And he
look
did.
How great that turned out to be. Superman
and
had the same opportunity.
Not that bad.
They didn't. I agree, but it's not as good as it should have been.
No, it's not as good as it should have been, and I agree. But they still have a chance to go.
You do not agree. You after you saw that movie last year, you were ranting about it. You were ranting about it when we did the DC Year in Review podcast.
I
remember that. So don't say it wasn't as good as it should have been. You freaking love that movie. You would drink it as a smoothie if you could.
Yes, I would. I would actually, with a little bit of whipped cream on the top. Actually, thank you. No, but my point is, you heard all these rumors following X-Men, like it was going to be the last movie of the trilogy with Spider-Man. You know, Raimi might have come back. So the problem is Marvel had no plan going in there. They just decided to just bombard us with everything. Whereas, you know, Superman's a franchise, Batman's a franchise. They're established. We know we're going to get another movie. We're probably going to get more movies, so they can take their time to do the thing. Whereas Marvel, I guess they just, you know, they're panicking, or, you know, maybe they just want to rush it in.
Yes, but here's the thing. While DC's taking their sweet-ass time, Marvel is making more money than them with putting out all of these movies.
Yeah.
And by the time DC gets around, by the time DC gets around to making Wonder Woman, Marvel has going to flooded the glut of superhero movies, and whatever they put out, no matter how good it's going to be, it's going to fail because we're going to have had the Heroes for Hire 4 movie
we're oversaturated.
By the time Wonder Woman comes out.
that's also my point. DC's problem.
Have you guys seen any of the
taking way too long?
Have you guys seen any of the I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC shorts?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen them all.
Okay. They're very good.
I think they're great.
I'm going to set one up to be played right now because I think it fits very nicely into our conversation here. So give me 1 second. Well, to go along with the conversation that we have going here, I think it makes perfect sense for me to go ahead and play something that probably exemplifies the conversation that is currently going on, and it's between two of our favorite superheroes, Spider-Man and Superman. One's a Marvel, one's a DC.
Hi, I'm a Marvel.
Hmm? Oh, and I'm a DC.
Hey, what's that you got there?
Oh, it's just a little scrapbook of my film history back in the 70s and 80s. Good times.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back at the whole story and success of those films, you can really appreciate my new film much better. Education, kids. A little homework never hurt anyone.
Uh-huh.
What are you having your kids look over?
Well, nothing, really. At Marvel, we just try to tell the stories so that anyone can enjoy them, whether you know the characters or not.
I see. Well, forgive me for trying to teach the kids out there a little something about the classics. Sorry. No, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we all can't have more progressive and modern directors, like Batman has Chris Nolan, and you have Sam Raimi, and the X-Men have Bryan Singer. Ouch. You okay?
I just miss the Reagan years, that's all. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Maybe you'd be more comfortable talking to someone else. You know, just hang on just 1 second.
Hey. Hey. You remember 70s and 80s?
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Good times.
I think that sort of says it all.
Yes, it does.
Well, it's funny how they said progressive director and then put Bryan Singer in the same sentence.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I think we've talked about this before, actually. Ian McKellen said this quote in an interview on the X-Men DVD. He's like, Bryan just knows what he doesn't like. And it's like, yeah... I mean, I love the Richard Donner movies too, but I've had 20,000 people tell me what they don't like about Superman Returns. So he got such a great season. You know, I don't blame Bryan, but I mean, if the next is exactly like Superman Returns, I'm going to be very disappointed.
You're not a true Superman fan if you can let the rest of us jade you.
Well, I mean, see, the thing is with the Superman fans, would I rather be a Jess Bill or would I rather be a Matthew Guy?
Now explain that a little bit.
That's the whole spectrum. Well, because you know, I mean, Jess Bill is a huge Superman fan, right? And so is Matthew Guy. But Jess Bill, I don't think he takes the Superman mythos so religiously as does Matthew Guy. I mean, this is too much inside. Do I really want to be that kind of Superman fan where the best movie was the first movie? I can't get past that. I can't get past 70s or 60s Superman or whatever era that I grew up with. You know, I understand. I wanted Superman Returns to be much better than it was. I was just so happy to get a fucking Superman movie in my lifetime. It just didn't matter at that point. Now that I've had, it's been over a year, and it's still a good movie to me. It's just, it's not what I wanted. It's not 100% what I wanted. I definitely, if I were to do a Superman movie,
Doom's
ruined.
Yeah. Doom is a Skrull.
Doom change shape whenever he want to.
No, Doom just bring in current Marvel continuity, and Doom is a Skrull.
Spoilers!
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nah, this will be like 4 months after the fact.
Oh, thanks a bunch, man. You know, I haven't been that late on the...
Okay, I meant to say 4 weeks. I promise. I promise. Scout's honor.
Express by Comic
They
Time.
Do not reflect the views of Comic Time.
I do get what you're saying there, and well, hey, I mean that's up there for everybody to discuss on the forums in response to this, I guess. So if you want to agree with Raph, agree with Raph, and if not, then let us know about it. Darth Kramer has a comment here that I definitely want to read before we finish this one up with one final I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC to put a capper on this. I thought it was good. It was fast-paced and kept the plot moving along, whereas the first movie had long scenes of nothing but long, boring exposition that did nothing other than kill the momentum that may have built up. The Surfer was awesome, and I had absolutely no problem with Galactus, as a world-devouring cloud works better than a man in a purple skirt for those unfamiliar with the source material. Oh, that's great.
Good point.
That's awesome. The kids in the theater where I saw it loved the movie, which is what you want with a PG film. I guess his kids didn't get up and start waving puppets at the film. And hey, it had Frankie Ray in it, so it can't be all that bad. And yeah, I do agree with that. Frankie Ray is really awesome. So yeah, no, I mean, Darth Kramer pretty much seems to agree with us on this. So yay, I guess we're right.
Well, seeing as how Fox, 20th Century Fox, has the same name as Fox News, I don't think a man in a purple skirt would have been too appealing to them.
Mm. Somehow I think you're right about that, sir. Somehow I think you're right about that.
Oh, Roddy would have had a... Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much all from us on this topic here. We've gone all over the place and everywhere in between. I think there's going to be about a 20-minute-long blooper segment after this. And I am going to put pretty much every single tangent we had on this show after the credits tonight. So go ahead and listen past the credits. There's not going to be any regular bloopers during the song like there usually are. After the credits, I'm putting everything. All right? Because we went places here that I don't think we've ever gone before. And even our Flash conversation was pretty damn good, which you'll hear later on. So I'm going to put it all in there, except for the stuff that sucked. All right? God.
Transformers?
Or the really offensive stuff.
Yes, or the really offensive stuff when we start talking about Brent's mom. It's just not the way to go. So that's cool. And we apologize profusely for any of the stuff that we might have said. But
no cookies for you when you come down and slap me with a Mark Waid flash trade. That's all I have to say.
Well, all I have to say is that Human Torch, a little shifty. Little shifty. Yeah.
52!
All right, what's coming up from you, knuckleheads? Brent, what do you got coming up?
Episode 48, part 3 or 4. Now it's a four-parter, so I don't know what it's going to be on. But yeah, episode 48, part 3 or 4, Raging Bullets. We're doing Matt Wagoner's miniseries from Batman, Batman and the Monster Man, Batman and the Mad Monk. And that's what's coming up.
And eventually, you'll probably hear Brent and I bitching and moaning about Flash.
Yes, yeehaw! That's for sure.
Uh-huh.
That's a definite.
So go ahead and listen to episode 48, part 7 for Brent's stuff. And RagingBullets.com, you can find any and all of Brent's previous audio comments, which have all been schmantastic. Raph, what do you got coming up on Geeks Unite, boy?
I think we are going to, the next two or three episodes are going to be the legendary Geek Debate episodes that have never been released, that have been sitting in my hard drive. So yeah, they're basically just me, Juan, and Danny talking about various topics related to comics and other geekery, and us weighing in on them. They should be out within the next 2 to 3 weeks. And also, we're probably going to do a Transformers episode and a Heroes episode, because Heroes is way overdue.
Awesome. Great. Terrific. And yeah, you can find that all at geeksunite.libsyn.com. And what's your other site?
Freewebs.com/comicgeeksunite.
Excellent. All right, yeah, and the next episode of Comic Timing, well, hopefully episode 42, will be a Mocha Fest wrap-up, as Raph and I will both be attending Mocha Fest, and we're going to have a whole big wrap-up of that. Hopefully get a couple more people on, and if not, Brent will just ask us some questions, and we'll do a bit of a wrap-up. And I'm going to have the portable mic with me, so we'll actually do some conversation from the fest that'll air, hopefully get some interviews. If not, no big deal. Nevertheless, that is coming up, and hopefully by then, Raph's computer will be fixed.
We can only hope.
Uh-huh, yeah. So I'm going to take us out on this, and then we'll go ahead into the credits as I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC explains exactly why Fantastic Four was so awesome.
Hi, I'm a Marvel.
And I'm a Marvel.
Yeah, and I'm a Marvel.
And I'm a Marvel.
I'm Batman.
Oh, come on.
Give us a break.
Hi, I'm a Marvel.
And I'm a Marvel.
Yeah, and I'm a Marvel.
And I'm a Marvel.
And I'm a Marvel.
DC forfeits to Marvel due to lack of appearance. Marvel wins by default.
The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at cgspodcast.com/forum, graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and on the main page. And, of course, they are over in the Comic Timing forums. Whole list of podcasts on there for you to vote for on Podcast Alley. And dig on dig.com as well. You can do that on the forum as well. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Graciously appreciate it. And that's pretty much all. So for Knucklehead number 1, Brent, and Knucklehead number 2, Rath, I am Knucklehead number 3, Ian Levenstein, reminding everybody that there's always time for comics. Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer is out in theaters, and it's about damn time we review it on the show. And I will introduce first the panel. I'm working with kids later today, and this is the way. Hold on, let me start that over.
All right. I worked with kids today and tomorrow.
No, I got this going. I got one more time.
Doomsday, you can do better.
I'm tripping over my words already. This is going to be a really fun podcast. Holy fucking shit.
Doom agrees.
God damn it, you're gonna fucking do that shit. This fucker, alright? This fucker, all through the movie, alright? When we're sitting there watching it, keeps turning to me and going, Doom Attack Fantastic Four. Doom like ketchup on his fries.
You know, I'm glad I didn't see it with you guys. Rami never to go see any movie with Raph ever.
Never.
Whatever do you mean? Sparta!
Yeah, exactly.
Alright.
Never. You don't want to see a movie with me ever. Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, you guys are going at 7 o'clock? I'm going at... When is the movie at? 10.
Should there have been a third film? And if so, should there be a third film? Should there have been a third film? Yeah. Should we have done the third film before we did the second film? That's a very good question to ask, actually. Because, you know how they like to do that sometimes in Hollywood where they do the third one first? Anyway, I swear to God, this is going to be a wonderful episode, guys. I'm so proud of myself for tripping over my words so much already that I know this is going to be a good episode. Just to let you guys know. All
right. Ian, yeah. Lay off the mushrooms on the train next time.
Yeah, interesting enough, there were mushrooms in my Thai food, but I don't think that they were that type of mushroom.
Uh-huh.
I hope. Okay, there we go. Be glad, Brent, that you do not go to the movies in Manhattan, okay? Be very glad about that. Am I talking to anyone right now?
Brent is here.
Brent.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Come back to the light.
Okay,
all right. Here, see, when I'm talking and I'm saying, Brent, be glad that you don't live in Manhattan, and then I hear nothing on the other end, I think you might have hung up by accident.
I'm listening.
Oh, I see how it is. Okay. Brent's playing mind games. Bastard. Alright, okay, yeah, but I'm gonna say that again, because, yeah, there was no reaction on your part, and it's gonna sound really weird. But, yeah. This is a good point to ask this, because we're almost done with the actual, like, bulk of the episode here, because I think we've been talking about this for, 4 hours in my mind, even though it's only been, like, an hour. Cracking up already, and it's only 1:06. Wow.
Doom's a scroll.
Yeah.
Doom is a scroll.
Doom change shape whenever he want to.
No, Doom's just bringing current Marvel continuity, and Doom is a scroll.
Spoilers.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Nah, this will be like 4 months after the fact.
Oh, thanks a bunch, man. I haven't been that late on the...
Okay, I meant to say 4 weeks. I promise. God's honor. Thank God they called it Rise of the Silver Surfer and not Fantastic Four 2. Because that would have been Fantastic 42 and had, like, a future story with the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids of Reed and Sue, and that would have been kind of confusing.
See, we have to excuse Brent's bad jokes, because, you see, he's been working all day, so he's tired. And
you know, in 6 hours.
His timing's a little off. Anyway, he tries. That's important. Craig Cassina.
You get A for effort.
He'll be here all week. Try the deal. All right.
For those who are brave enough to have stuck around, here is the rest of the show. All of the stuff that had absolutely nothing to do with anything that I am sticking at the end here. Ignore me!
All right, give me 1 second here, guys, by the way. I forgot to download the cryptographic thing that I wanted to play halfway through the show. So one moment here. Let me just do that.
Oh, the Mistress Sin thing?
Yeah.
I got it, too.
You got it, too? Okay.
It's in episode 5, part 2.
That's Brent, that's because you don't do a podcast.
I do a mini-podcast, goddammit.
Well, they probably sent it to Sean and Jim, because all the podcasts, I think all the podcasts that sent them bumpers, they returned a favor.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. 1 second, I gotta find out exactly where the fuck I'm putting this. I put it in a new folder. Problem
oh,
is
it's a bumper.
I put it in a new folder. Problem is I didn't check where I was actually saving it to. So 1 second.
Right. Some backtracking.
There we go. Okay, good. That works. All right. And let me open.
Red, we need the board. Come and get it. Oh, come on. Could you be less of a dude? God, I hate Doom.
Doom is
I really hate Doom.
Okay, say it like the Iron Man is a douche so I can put it in somewhere.
Dr. Doom is a douche.
Thank you. I feel better now.
That's the second. In the line of... Raph says everybody's a douche.
So, it's... If,
audio recording.
Is if Dr. Doom is a douchebag, does that make him a doom bag?
Brent Cassino, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night. Try the veal.
Try the veal.
Try the veal.
What?
Oh. Oh my
God. You just fucking broke me, dude. You just fucking.
It's not even 2 o'clock.
Good night, everybody.
Oh,
good night, everybody. You've been great. Yeah, thank you very much. I do weddings and remissives. Try the veal.
Well, you know, I'm not. It's Warren's fault.
There's no better guest than me, man.
That's true. That's true.
Actually, I'm not on their show 10. Yet.
We're saving you for episode 10, Brent.
Yeah.
When is that?
Episode 10. I think.
So like October.
October 2036, I think.
Well, no, dude. For episode 10, from the looks of things, it's going to be the Raph roast.
What is episode 10?
It's you, Spanomano from the forums, and Ian. Just basically ripping my asshole about 3 or 4 new ones.
And I might actually be in the studio with Raph. We're working on that.
That would be cool. Yeah.
And, how hard is that? Now let me hop a train 2 hours before.
Yeah. All right. Let's actually get back into this here.
Hey, my nose cleared up. Thank God.
Yay!
Sorry, I'm so fucking sorry.
That's okay. That's fine.
Oh, by the way, Raph, did you get the 40% off back issues from Midtown?
I don't think I did.
The postcard saying 40% off back issues, Midtown?
No, I didn't get it. I think I have an email on it. I saw it in my mailbox.
Okay, just wanted to let you know because it's only valid until the 24th.
Oh, to hell with them. I'm going to hit them up for magnitude then.
Okay, cool.
Ian, did you read Flash?
I did, actually, yeah.
And, okay, yeah, we're doing an episode now.
Yeah, we're totally doing an episode on that, because my fucking God!
Uh-oh, what's this about Flash?
Did you
have you read Flash?
It's in my stack right now.
Have you read JLA?
I haven't read JLA.
Come back to us when you've read those.
Wait, JLA's out this week?
So, dude,
yeah.
You managed to not...
Power Girls Tits, that cover, come on.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, hold on, do I have it,
Raph,
son of a
Raph,
bitch?
Raph. Did you actually manage to not get spoiled on this yet?
No.
Because half the internet knows this already.
Today is the first time I've been online in like 4 days.
I already told you about this last week, though.
Did you hear what's happening with Mark Waid?
Yeah, Mark Waid's coming back. I know that.
Did you hear what number
is he starting with?
They're gonna renumber the Flashes.
Yeah.
Did you hear...
What do you think that means for this Flash?
He's gonna die. Yeah, I kind of figured Flash is gonna die, but he dies at the end of this comic.
Final issue.
Hey, this is the fucking final issue, really? I thought they were going like 14.
Final issue. Fake.
Fuck me.
Fake.
Uh huh.
14 and 15. Fake covers. Fake solicitations.
Uh huh.
Oh, fuck.
All-Star Flash number 1 is next month, and then Flash 231.
Which I don't think I'm going to be getting because I don't like Daniel Acuna.
Wait, Daniel Acuna is doing All-Star Flash?
No, he's doing Flash with Mark Waid.
Flash with Mark Waid.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Oh, go to Newsarama. They have the the pencils up. I saw that already.
Motherfucker.
Are you happy or sad?
No. Well, not really, because even though I like Daniel Acuna, his art kind of sucked on Green Lantern.
Yeah. No, it looks a little different. It looks different on he's already done a page. They showed a page on Newsarama. All
right,
it didn't look that bad.
I got to take.
I like his covers, the Flash covers, but. I'm not gonna feel it. I just can't. I can tell already.
Right.
And I just jumped on Flash. We should save this conversation.
Where is this, by the way?
Newsarama.
The Acuna stuff.
It's on Newsarama. It should be under the Mark Waid interview.
Wait, is that Flash solicit info update? All Flash cover?
No.
Okay. I think so. No.
All-Flash cover is ugly anyway.
Yeah, the all-Flash cover is disgustingly bad. Is
that Braithwaite? Is that what that's supposed to be?
I think so. Where the fuck is this interview?
Go all the way down.
GLA is out?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, it came out this week.
Oh, fuck.
Spoiler sport. Hello.
All right. Yeah. Is it in the Mark Waid Returns to Flash?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. It is.
All right,
it should be the first image you see, actually. Okay. It's not that bad. I couldn't really, Oh, son of a bitch. I don't have JLA. Are you kidding me? That's retarded.
All right, dude. Before you start freaking out, remember now, okay? Mocha is Saturday, which means you're probably going to end up at a comic shop.
Yeah, that's... Well, you know, but still, I mean, like, I picked up, like, $50 in comics this week. I should have a JLA in here.
How'd you manage to pick up $50 in comics, man?
What'd
you buy?
Highlander, Brave and the Bold, Checkmate, Countdown, Flash,
Amazing
Spider-Man, Captain America, Fallen Sun, Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, a couple of JLA classifieds that I missed, Annihilation, Conquest, Ultimate Fantastic Four, that's it.
I gave in, and I actually did my second DCBS order.
Oh, very nice.
Because, I got about $50 worth in comics this time. I actually got more, you know, comics through them. I'm kind of hoping that, this will be my 2 month trial, as it were, giving this a shot. Because I'm not going entirely to DCBS because there's no way in hell I'm not going to go to a comic shop every month.
Right.
But I picked up. They had Booster Gold for 75 cents. I had to.
Yeah.
And all the Annihilation Conquest stuff I got from them. But I didn't get number ones from them in my original order, so I'm first going to have to pick those up at the comic shop. I'm looking at the Acuna image. That is actually kind of nice.
It's a nice image, but I don't... Like, his covers for the Green Lantern stuff, or whatever, his Flash stuff doesn't match his interiors. His interiors on the Green Lantern issues just don't match what he does for covers.
Dude, he was using a different style for that, though.
I can understand that, but goddamn, the guy's got one damn style.
No, he doesn't. I have a Superman sketch from him, which is an entirely different style than this.
All right. There's no black lines. That's one fucking style to me. I don't know.
Well, all I'm saying is that if his stuff looks like this cover, I'll be happy.
All right. I think I'm going to get 231, but I don't know. I can't see it.
All right. All right. Because, I mean, I have to pick it up. It's Mark Waid. You know? This is something... I cannot pick up a comic if it's Geoff Johns, but... There's no way in hell I'm not picking up a Mark Waid Flash. It's Mark Waid Flash, man. Come on.
Never read any.
No,
You better read it. Or I'm going to come to Florida and slap you with the trade paperback. Punk.
You know, I grew up with Mark Waid.
Can we go out afterwards? That's incredible.
yeah, sure. Only if you're paying.
Okay.
All right,
you get it by the plane ticket.
All right, fine, whatever.
Ian, I'm not reading a Mark Waid Flash.
Fuck you. Seriously, all right? That's not cool, man, all right? It's not cool to shun Mark Waid like that, all right? Dude's your father.
I'm blaming the bold.
Dude's your father, and you're shunning him like that.
What are we talking about?
I don't know anymore. What the fuck, man?
Oh, fuck. All right. I think the last thing we were talking about was,
Chris
Evans.
Yeah, no. No, I... I don't.
Yeah, character development.
Yeah, no. I know. Okay, this episode's gonna be a half hour. I watch it fucking happen. All right, I'm gonna edit all this shit. And I'm gonna find out we had like a half hour's worth of content on Fantastic Four.
45 minutes,
and the other 2 hours is like wasted.
Yeah, well, no, not wasted, dude. If anything, I'm gonna put that shit out.
Yeah,
because we've been BSing so much this episode. All right. Here we go. Okay, all right.
I don't know how those guys do it though. The half hour wasted guys. I don't know how they do it.
They're magic. They're absolutely magic.
30 plus minutes.
Plus they have June Bob. So
yeah, that's true. That's awesome.
I need to get Hesse on my show.
I'm supposed to have Hesse on my show.
Oh yeah. Well, when she's on your show, get her on my show.
Yeah.
Get Hesse on my lap.
I'll put her. I'll put the notice out.
Okay, good. Because let her know that Comic Timing wants her
on your lap.
Whoa, dude. Jesus. Holy fucking shit, man.
I figured we're being spiteful. We should be lovey-dovey, too.
See, this is why you're not my co-host. Because, I mean, you say things like that, that it's like, just like... that is so much fun. I really want to
thinking
pop
about
my,
Reed.
I think I really want to pop my pee right now because... There we go. Okay. All right.
I'm thinking about Reed. I got a Reed speech. Come on. It's okay. Coming.
All right. Well, one second. Hurry. All right. Okay, all right.
Come on, it's going to explode. Come on.
What the fuck, man?
Oh, God.
Pet peeve number 7 here, all right? When the movie ended and those credits started to roll, the extra scene with Silver Surfer, well, you see... Hey, Silver Surfer's okay.
Yeah, he opens his eyes.
What happened?
I didn't get to see it twice.
What happened in our theater, Raph?
Oh, everybody's like, oh, it's a good... Yeah, some people clap. Like, half the people get up, though. And, like, there's all shadows and shit. And then when the scene comes up, everybody's...
Wow, really? That's what happened. Okay.
Everybody's what?
Everybody's...
Quiet. So what are you complaining about?
Where the fuck did Raph go? Oh, god damn you, Raph. I swear to God, if his computer died on him now, I'm going to cry.
We could finish the episode.
Oh, my. Yeah, no, he's gone. Oh, fuck, he's
off?
Gone. Yeah, he's off. Motherfucker. Hold on 1 second.
No, he's still on.
He is? Not on mine.
He's on mine.
He's not on mine. He's you know, he's not on mine. He's X'd out on mine. You know, he's not on.
He's on.
He is?
It says he's online. Oh, now he's gone. Is that time delay from New York to Florida? That's what it was.
Yeah, you know, that 4 hour difference could really get to you. Alright, one second, let me try giving him a call. Alright, one second.
How much time delay is that?
We got about halfway through, and then we got... And Brent then asked, wait, so what are you upset about? Because we literally got up to the point where you were talking about what you were upset about, and then nothing. Wait, shit, did the whole thing die now? Alright, give it another restart, see what happens. Alright, one second. Alright, I'll call you back. Raph Suhu, motherboard, fried.
What?
His computer is in a royal state of hell right now. Give me a moment here.
Geeks Unite, episode 10, 2060.
I swear if he ends up losing his shows, that's gonna make me cry.
You'll definitely be an official podcaster then.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about, sir. All right.
Yeah, right.
Hello?
Raph.
We're good to go?
Yeah, we're good to go. Is it dead for good?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to... I'll take another look at it in the morning, but it's not loading. It was on the same screen for like 2 minutes, so... Oh, fuck.
Silver Surfer exploded your computer.
Yeah, he was not too happy about my criticism.
It's the devourer of motherboards.
God.
Doom no like criticism.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait. What is Brent sending me now? Let's see what this is. This is gonna scare me, isn't it? Oh, holy crap! He's old.
I don't know if I want to see it now.
He just sent me a picture of Indiana Jones on the set of Indiana Jones, and my God, did Harrison Ford age?
Holy yeah, he is pretty old.
Holy shit!
You can definitely tell when you put the hat and the shirt on him.
The dude looks like a mummified husk of Indiana Jones.
Oh, man.
All right. Now, before we get back into this, your cell phone has bars, right? I just want to make sure here before we actually start talking.
Let me double-check here.
Okay.
I've got two bars.
Okay. That's good.
Am I coming in clear?
Yeah. Yeah, you're coming in clear.
Oh, then.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something between two and one, but staying at two pretty much.
You don't have a landline, do you?
I do have a landline.
Okay. Then you know what? Actually, let's switch it to landline just in case.
Okay.
Give me your land. Ian called Doom.
Can't wait for the interlude you have to put in this one.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Doom called Doom.
Doom no like computer. Doom smash.
Mm. Now I can hear a humming.
Yeah, there is a bit of a hum on your phone.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it might be the DSL.
Turn off that neon live nude sign in your window.
I think it's the DSL. Let me turn off the DSL because the DSL is pretty much useless at this point.
Okay.
It's not the DSL.
Not the DSL.
Yeah. All right, call you back in the cell.
All right, no problem.
God fucking damn it. You know, now I am going to have to release this. Phone tag with Raf Suhu.
You think if you just put it out as is, they'd listen to it?
Okay.
Yeah. Brent's wondering if we put this out as is, if people will listen to it.
I will definitely listen to it.
Yeah.
Right. And I will pass it around as much as I can.
Yeah. Great. Terrific. All right. Okay. Let's get back into this here. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So yeah. About that whole last scene thing with the, well wait no what wait no that's not how we set it up. How did we set it up before?
Telling a story.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, I know that, but we had gotten to I was talking about the Silver Surfer whole
pet peeve number 7.
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah, all right.
The crap, what was it? Fucking A.
I really enjoyed when what.
Okay,
and both Raf and I will be attending the Mocha Fest, and that's actually already happened by the time that this episode comes out, so I'm not going to say that it's coming up. However, the next episode that we do will be a Mocha Fest wrap-up. And I'm not sure whether or not it's just going to be me and Raph. I will hopefully have a couple other people on who were there as well. If Brent wants to chime on in and ask us questions, he can go ahead and do so. I want to hopefully get some audio from Mocha Fest. I'm going to bring my my recorder with me with the portable mic. So we'll be all set up to do that. But that's all to come. We'll figure that out. But that'll be the next episode of Comic Timing, which will be episode 41, which will come out about a week after this one, hopefully. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all here, and I am certainly looking at the clock right now and realizing I'm probably not going to be editing the show like I thought I was going to tonight, so we might not get that until Sunday or Monday, but it'll be out eventually. That's important. Episode 40 will be out, okay? That means episode 42 is Mocha. This is episode 41 right now. Hey, hey.
You could just stop saying that in your radio voice, because you're probably going to take all that shit out.
Yeah, I know. In fact, let me say that again. Let me say most of that again, okay? All right. Fuck you.
Sorry, I'm holding my breath.
Oh, my
God. Comic Timing. Episode 40.
Actually, you should just speed that up at the end there, like John Mayo's old
Ale
Report
yeah.
thing.
That was awesome. Yeah, okay, all right, here we go. Knucklehead number one. Yes, you've been listed first. Congratulations, sir.
I'm taking over.
God, no. Although, No, see, one of these days, okay? One of these days. In fact, you know what? Maybe for April Fool's in 2008, I want there to be an episode, okay? I'll record it. But I want there to be an episode where Brent comes on. It does the whole host thing, okay? All right?
For the entire episode, or just the beginning?
There's a full episode. Full episode with topic and all, with guests. All right?
And no Ian?
And I come in at the end.
Hey, wait.
With a, and you could play it I'll do
like your quit.
Yeah, no. I'll do like a fake Skype call in, and Brent will be like, Brent will be like,
hello.
Oh shit! I'm like, yeah, Brent. All right, I'm ready to do the show, man.
Yes. I want to do that so bad. Yes.
Well, you can
do
the ending, and then you can just go and do the email time.
Like Raph does on his show.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah. You can check out Geeks Unite over at Geeks Unite. There you go.
Oh, God, that thing is long.
All right, let's
go. We'll have one guitar.
Oh, man. You know what's hilarious?
Survives.
We've been recording for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it is, I think, a 45-minute show.
Yeah, it's going to be like a 45-minute show.
That's usually how it works out.
It's going to be like an hour and 15 minutes maybe, and then I'm going to have like a 30 or 40-minute blooper session. And no, I am not ripping off Raging Bullets, okay? Just because they had an hour conversation with Lord Schaefer after.
That's
the
not bloopers.
Roll,
those are ours are bloopers.
Exactly. Ours are random crap that has nothing to do with anything.
Raging Bullets bloopers are epop orc.
I must say that I like my bloopers.
I think you've had the best bloopers.
Well, that's
stolen from you.
No.
Aside from maybe, let's see. My Freddy bloopers are okay.
Well,
Freddy bloopers pretty good.
I mean, I told you where I got my idea for the bloopers in the first place, right?
No.
I think so.
This Week in Tech. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
This Week in Tech always had, like, a non sequitur at the end that had nothing to do with anything.
I love non sequitur.
And then we upgraded to 50.
Well, that's what happens when our brains go all over the place.
Yeah.
We're not using just 10%.
We're using 50.
That's what's happening here.
And all 40% extra is being filled up by useless statistics about comic books.
Exactly.